Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Saturday night, there was a lot going on, and I kind of flipped over toward the end. I saw, oh, look this. Miami, Georgia Tech, very close late. Let me go check that out. And then I saw the debacle. As debacled as I've ever seen a game at the end of a close game. As, I mean, the word debacle was debacled.
It's just not enough.
By what Mario Cristobal engineered in a come-from-ahead loss to the Yellow Jackets in Miami, even worse. Chip Patterson joins us as he does usually on Wednesdays. Today, because Hurricanes open up tomorrow, although we could talk Hurricanes hockey with Chip because he's a big fan. But let's talk. I want to talk more college football with you today. So is there fallout? I know that there have been people prodding Mario to be more, I don't know, acceptance of the blame here. Have you ever seen anything like what Cristobal did? Although I know he's done it before.
Right, and so that's why there's so many levels to this. To answer your question, how about offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson jumping on the grenade on Monday? He already came out and said, no, I made the play call. But I think what's, and by the way, maybe that gets Mario Cristobal famously very challenging to work for. He's very involved yeah. in the activities of his assistants, particularly on the recruiting trail. One read of that is that he's a very good recruiter, does a good job. The other read is that his assistants say, man, it is miserable to work for that guy. So, you know, maybe Shannon Dawson is buying himself some good graces for the early signing period by jumping on the responsibility for that. You mentioned that it's happened before. 2018, very similar scenario. Did not end up kneeling when he could have won the game at Oregon against Stanford. The game goes to overtime. It wasn't an outright loss in regulation, but they did end up losing that game in overtime. So, yes, there's a habit of this. How about this? How about there have been no kneels for the Miami Hurricanes this season? Which makes me wonder if right. famous tough guy Mario Cristobal is like a, oh, we don't kneel because we don't right. drop to one knee. We don't take negative yards.
I don't like well, they the lost fact- 2 yards on a play they didn't have to run. So it doesn't – actually, no, it was before the timeout. Here's the thing about it because I considered that. I mean, maybe – and if it's his policy, that's his policy. Everybody should know about it ahead of time. But it's very possible that – In an opposite way, he's got a little Greg Schiano in him, right? Remember when Schiano was the head coach of the Buccaneers, and even when the other team was in victory formation, Schiano was the guy that, yeah, like, we're taking this play seriously. So guys were, like, risking injury in a play that really didn't matter.
Hey, that's interesting, Adam. What do Greg Schiano and Mario Cristobal have in common? Is it a connection to Miami in the glory days?
Yeah. There you go. I mean, maybe that's true. Now, why wouldn't Cristobal have simply said something like that? Look, it burned us here, but this is not who we are. Of course, it's silly to like be against automatically winning a game. This is not like I have these debates all the time with basketball about do you foul or let a team, not let a team shoot a three, but just defend the three. Do you foul the guy before he shoots the three so you can't get beat or tied by a three-pointer? My feeling has always been you simply play it. Don't gimmick the game up by intentionally fouling somebody before they get a chance to attempt a three-pointer. Just play the game. There's very few guys who are 75% three-point shooters. But this is a completely different situation. When you have the ball and the other team can't score and there's not enough time on the clock, you simply take a knee. I just don't understand why they didn't.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned about Cristobal's response. I didn't like his immediate response in the post game of saying, you know, we coach two hands on the ball. I mean, basically laying the blame with the player. That's no good in my book at all. He is in his Monday press conference, in his weekly hit with Joe Rose down in Miami. I would say he's taken a little bit more responsibility than he did immediately after, but
did not like
that being the first thing that came to his mind in the scenario.
We had to recalibrate is something he said. Actually, you didn't.
Yeah. I mean, and look, there is also Cam Kitchens, the All-ACC safety, who was up way too far to be able to allow the Georgia Tech wide receiver, who I believe was an Alabama transfer, to get behind him to be able to pull that in. I mean, how about this? As every Miami bragged about beating Texas A&M and the ACC's 4-1 record versus the SEC, but the Texas A&M quarterback just threw a pass to the Alabama wide receiver to beat the Canes. And this is the thing that's honestly the most damning. I understand Miami wasn't good last year, but Mario Cristobal has not won a home game in ACC play since taking over, 0-5.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Wow. Well, you know, look, Chip,
fallout, like the fallout is how long can Miami's native son ride on being Miami's native son when every piece of evidence that he lays before his fan base, the ones that actually are showing up, the ones that the camera focuses on in the tight shots, because they're not going to show you the wide shots there in Hard Rock Stadium.
Right.
How long are they going to continue to have a product right in front of their eyes that is not winning football?
That's interesting. Well, they have an opportunity on the road against North Carolina. Real quick, because Miami is still exploring this, do you think Chaney was actually down? Did the ground cause a fumble? I understand why it didn't get overturned. There just wasn't, clear-cut video evidence. I kind of thought he was down. I think it was the arm was down, which caused the fumble, but they didn't overturn the play.
There's a difference between it was down and it should be overturned. And I think that's one of those plays where if they called
we can't punish the stupidity.
If you had called it down on the field, it probably would have remained.
Right. No, the video just wasn't conclusive enough.
Correct.
I agree. I don't want to punish the stupidity, even though you kind of got what you deserved. But on the bright side for Miami,
all don't lie is the phrase that the esteemed Rasheed Wallace.
Absolutely. The great philosopher Rasheed Wallace. And he's right. In a way, Cristobal is lucky that they're off to a good start. Although schedule gets a lot tougher. Still have Clemson left, and we'll talk about Clemson in a minute. Speaking of UNC Miami, UNC got Tez Walker back. Tez didn't have a great impact in the game. Frankly, he should have had a touchdown early, but Drake May missed him and wide open in a diagonal route across the field, not covered, and Dre just missed him wide. He threw almost outside the pylon, I think. But now with McCollum playing as well, and the tight ends are good, and the running game is good, could we see North Carolina take their offense to a new level? Because defense has been pretty good. I don't think defense has been awesome. Defense has been better than expected. But could we be seeing their offense go to a new place?
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think it's already pretty daggum high. I think it was like, right. How about this? I think that if you go all the way back to maybe the second quarter against Pitt, it's like the switch flip. Remember, like, Pitt kind of had the clamps on him early. The run game wasn't really working. And then Drake had to go out there. Yeah, we make a lot out of the left-handed throw. But it was the other throws, like the really tough, tight window throws that he made against the Panthers in that game on Saturday night on the road. Follows that up with another strong performance against Syracuse coming out of the bye. I do not want to make Tez Walker's addition anything, you know, I don't want to lessen it in any way. It is fantastic for him that he's getting to play for the North Carolina Tar Heels this year, and especially after he remained so committed to the team. You know, if he had decided, I don't like the way this is going, I don't like the way whatever his relationship with the school is different, he would not have been on the sideline. He would not have been an honorary captain. He would not have, you know, wanted to be around his teammates in the way that he was with everything that was going on with the NCAA. The fact that he did that makes his return an emotional lift. But in terms of X's and O's, in terms of raw production, we're talking about number 10, baby. Like, that is the ceiling for North Carolina. When Drake May is playing well, they can win the ACC championship. And if, you know, things start to sputter a little bit, then all of a sudden it's going to get a little bit more difficult. But I think that where he's at, especially over the last, you know, maybe seven quarters or so, it's looking really, really good. It is why he came in with all the accolades and expectations that he did.
So what's their toughest remaining game? What is Carolina's toughest remaining game?
At Clemson. That's
the second toughest remaining game, Clemson.
Wait, hold on. What'd you say?
That's North Carolina's second most difficult remaining game.
Oh, you can say Duke at home?
On brand, Chip. You understand.
All right, listen, you know, I'll take that for sure. But my at Clemson is not just Death Valley, a phenomenal, like statistically, a phenomenal home field advantage in ACC play throughout this run. And Duke has a terrific defensive front. Yeah. But Clemson's defense for me is one of the best in the country.
I agree.
And
I agree.
I think that North Carolina offensive line, that will be a challenge in Death Valley in a third and long scenario to be able to hold off a defensive front that has as many different dangerous pieces. I mean, they just trot Xavier Thomas out there for like 15 to 17 snaps a game, and he ends up with like, I don't know, seems like 10 sacks in those 15 to 17 snaps. I mean, you just have so much specialized talent. They're doing a good job with that group in Brent Venables' absence. So, yeah, I would say at Clemson just because that can be so disruptive. Duke is clearly the other team that you would look at as the difficult roadblock in terms of that ACC championship ceiling that I just mentioned right now. But I even with the 700-foot or 3,500-foot view, like this, if a plane's flying at 700, that'd be dangerous.
Very dangerous.
I think that Florida State and North Carolina felt like they were worlds apart after week two. And I don't think that as we head into week 7.
All right, let me, we have the other local game. We have Duke and NC State this week. Obviously, Duke, they're still saying that Riley Leonard is day-to-day. We all saw him walk off the crutch off the field against Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. So who knows? It's probably going to be, Blevin?
Henry Bealen the fourth.
Bealen the fourth, who's got a strong arm. And capable runner, but he's not Riley Leonard, certainly not at this point. Now we have MJ Morris running NC State's offense, which at least they looked more explosive and more willing. Could he be already ahead of Brennan Armstrong?
No, I don't think so. If he was already ahead of Brennan Armstrong, then I don't think that we would I don't think we would still see Brendan Armstrong on the field. I don't know if he was like worlds ahead of Brendan Armstrong. I don't know if we would still have those specialized packages built into the game plan, right, like NC State seemed to. My chief concern for this game has nothing to do with Riley Leonard or even specifically with NC State's quarterback situation. It is NC State's wide receivers against a Duke defense that is going to say, beat us.
Right.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to take our defensive front and your offensive line, which has not been great. We are going to absolutely get after the quarterback in a way that leaves our defensive backs in some difficult situations, but we don't think you're good enough. And the reason why I talk like this is that's exactly what Duke told us when they played Clemson in the opener.
Absolutely.
They just went out there and they played man-to-man. Let's go.
And to an extent, apart from the last play, what they did to Notre Dame.
I really think that Duke is going to look at NC State's offense, and they're going to look at the personnel, and they're going to look at their own personnel, and they're going to say, we can win up front in the trenches, and we can win one-on-one matchups on the perimeter. And it will be up to, you know, Casey Concepcion. It will be up to Porter Rooks. It will be up to, you know, pass catchers and skill players to make Duke pay and win one-on-one battles. I don't know, man. Duke's done it against Clemson and Notre Dame. And I tend to think that those are, you know, as faulty as Clemson's offense was early in that game, hey, as Dabo Swinney told us, they still ran for 200, threw for 200.
Yeah. So what was the problem? What was the problem against
Clemson
Wake Forest?
In history, first time in 158 years of Clemson football, rush for 200. So I think that that's where this game comes down to. And by the way, you talk about Henry Bealand. How about, and I heard Mike Elko actually point this out recently. He was having a conversation with our friends, Joe Ovis and Joe Giglio. He said that on a Hail Mary pass against Northwestern, they took Riley out and put Bealand in. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. Bealand's got the better arm.
Yeah. Like I don't know if we're, how about this? Let me pull it up real quick. When I ran the Chipolytics for this game.
Okay.
I made it Duke minus 10.
Wow.
The spread is 3.5. I don't think Riley Leonard is a 7-point quarterback. I suspect that that Duke will be able to win that game by a touchdown.
I think Duke might be able to win the game with their running game. The way Duke is varied running the ball, it all depends.
Yeah, but let's not bag on that.
State's got a great defense. I think this is going to be a low scoring game.
Davin Van had a good game against Marshall. Like, you know, we obviously know that Peyton Wilson is
one of the best players in the country, I think. I love him.
Capital D, dude. I think it will be difficult. Like you said, low-scoring game would not surprise me. But just in terms of the value in the betting markets, if the power ratings are spitting out something between 7 and 10, dropping it all the way down to 3.5 is an overreaction for Riley Leonard's absence.
Chip Patterson, before we have to say goodbye, Clemson struggled against Wake. I mean, at least final score 17, I think 17 to 12 is kind of weird. At Miami, at State, home against Notre Dame, home against Georgia Tech, which I said a couple of weeks ago, Georgia Tech was going to be a problem for teams at the top of the division. And as it turned out, they are. Then North Carolina, then out South Carolina. What would be a good year? What would be legitimately a good year against that remaining schedule for the Tigers?
I think you just got to go program standard. They've had 12 straight seasons of winning double-digit games, finish 9-3 in the regular season, go to the bowl game with a chance to make it 10. You know, when the bottom fell out and everything was as bad as it's ever gotten back in 2020, they found a way to get to 9 wins before the end of the regular season. And not 2021, excuse me, the next season. They still found a way to – they were in the Cheez-It Bowl. You know, they're used to their oranges on the bowl logo being more of the South Florida variety than Tampa. But, you know, they found a way to get out there, get that win, and finish 10-3 on the season. So, you know, Dabo likes to hold up all the, you know, different goals and different, you know, ways that you can represent maintaining the standard. I think that the Tigers can go through the rest of that schedule with one loss at a minimum and put themselves in a position to finish 10-3.
Notre Dame and Carolina both on their field. So at the very least, Clemson may determine who plays in the ACC championship, and they've already help Duke out in that regard. Chip, you're the best. I appreciate your time, my friend. I will maybe I'll see you at a Hurricanes game soon.
Hey, listen, if the bat phone lights up with Dr. Dean, okay, come catch me. I'll be there.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
That's good. You'll be well.
You got it. All right. Chip Patterson, usually on Wednesdays, today on Tuesdays.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.